Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Indie Music Diaries. I'm Atlas Eyes, the host of the podcast, where I chat to a musical guest every Monday fortnight. And so honored to be sitting down here virtually with the artist known as Cypher. How's it going?
Going great, Lucky. I'm really glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And it's an exciting time, I think, to get you on because it's still relatively early in your journey as Cypher. So
yeah.
It's going to be really, really exciting just to hear from you. And I'm sure many listeners probably maybe haven't heard of you, maybe some have, but really just dive into you and your music and what you're about, which will be awesome. So let's get started in terms of your musical journey. How did you first get into music? Where did that journey start for you?
Yeah. Well, I started performing when I was 13. So you know how in school, they'll have a week where you do something else. It's not just studying. Like I think a lot of schools do that. And you get to, in my school, you get to pick what you want to do for that week. And there was a school of rock program.
Nice.
So I joined that. Yeah, it was really good. It was literally, it was kind of like the movie, only that maybe the teachers were not as wild. And yeah, so basically they put you into groups, you form a rock band depending on your skill set. So I sang, like I'd just been singing for fun since I was four, you know, just running around the house singing, singing in my bedroom, things like that. But because I liked rock so much, I thought it was a great opportunity to kind of go, okay, let's see what we can do with all the singing. And that was the first time I started playing instruments on stage too. So guitar, there was one performance where I played the drums and I sang. So that was kind of the first foray into it. And it was really freeing, I felt, because you kind of, you're up on stage. It's a bit terrifying the first few times, but as you get used to it, there's something about being on stage and having a relationship with the audience that I really liked. And you start to understand that, I feel, the more you perform live, right? So that's how it all started. But then I actually, after that, I started going into musical theater and doing sort of glee type activities at school and into actual theater as well. So kind of doing acting and also a bit of dancing where it was required in musical theater. And then so it kind of broadened, I guess, the type of music that I performed. So that's, I guess, where it all began. And the last thing I did, which I think influences the music I do a lot today, is that I was in an a cappella group.
They've done
a cappella several times. So kind of having that understanding of vocals and how they all work together really influenced me.
Interesting. There's a lot there to sort of that has I guess led you to this journey and who you are as an artist now. That's really, really cool. So going from the rock stuff, the school of rock sort of inspired activities to the musical stuff, doing a cappella stuff. And it is interesting that you mentioned the a cappella side of things, because I think that does come across, especially in this debut single that you released. It has that sort of, I don't know, that quality to it. It's very chill vibes. It's very, I mean, it's about Wonder Beach. So it's a very old vibes too. So
yeah. You
definitely get that sense there with that song. We will talk about that track very, very soon. But I want to learn about how you got around to starting yourself as an artist, as Cypher. Mm. So how did that decision come about? Was this something that you've sort of been, have you been working on music for a while, or did you just recently start it up? Because I just saw it was just last year, I think, you got started on the social platforms.
Yeah, that's so true. Mm. So I actually used to live in Hong Kong. I grew up there, which doesn't explain the accent, but . And I moved to Australia in January last year, so 2020. And in doing that, I basically lost all my performing arts contacts, right? Because you move to another country, you don't know anyone, but then the arts is such a collaborative thing to do. So if you don't know people, you're pretty much kind of going, you can't really do theater on your own. I mean, I guess you could do a one woman show, whatever, but yeah, kind of not the same. You still need to know that you have that network and that group of supporters around you. So I think at that point I was going, yeah, but I still love music. I still love the arts. You know, I was still writing songs. And then I met someone who said, hey, actually, I know a producer. He's just started. He's actually a musician. He's just started a home studio. Why don't you go and just record a song with him? Yeah. And it really went so well. Mm. So that was kind of the beginning of it. And we just did one song. So Dan, who's my producer, went, well, why don't we do a few more? And then so we ended up, you know, picking a few songs out of the stuff that I'd written and building out this EP. And that's kind of how it all began. It was just this serendipitous meeting and me just wanting to still pursue the arts, even though I'd moved to a whole new country.
Nice. Cool. That's cool. So what led you to moving from Hong Kong? So have you lived in basically Hong Kong your whole life or?
Yeah. I mean, I've moved or I haven't moved around. I've lived briefly in New York and Brighton in the United Kingdom. Mm. But yeah, most of my life I spent in Hong Kong.
Nice. Cool. And how do you feel like you've adjusted to life now being in Australia for, I think it's just over a year now? You said you moved here January last year?
Yeah. So about a year and a half almost. Yeah, no, honestly, it's been amazing. And I think what helped in a weird way was COVID. And I know that's a strange thing to say, but I think it threw so many people, like life as we knew it just went haywire. But as someone who moved, you know, when you move, you're like, what's going on? Everything's changed. All the people are different. The culture's different. You know, the trees are different. and so it can be quite confronting. But then everyone was in a similar state, not in the same exact same way, but everyone was going, what's going on? So it's sort of, it was a weird moment in time. And I think everyone will agree that while it was, you know, lonely for some people and really difficult, and it came with obviously a lot of challenges, it was also a time for us to realize how important it is to stay connected with each other and how important, you know, getting to know other people is, and social interaction, how important that is too. So I think it was kind of a weirdly good entrance into Australia, you know, when everyone's got that kind of sentiment.
Yeah.
And you're new. So yeah, I actually have had a really good time moving.
Interesting. Yeah. It's sort of, I mean, like you said, COVID sort of, it made it work out in the end, how you sort of came into Australia at this weird time that we're all going through. And I mean, especially for the music industry, not just here, but everywhere around the world, it's obviously been tough, especially in terms of live music. I mean, it's great here in Australia. In Sydney, we're having standing gigs. Last weekend, I went to my first standing gig in over a year, which was very exciting. Yeah. So it's starting to get back to normal as well, which is good. But so you worked with, I think, so you said his name's Dan. So Daniel Tomolaris, is that right?
Yeah.
How did you find working with him? Because, I mean, listening to this track, Wonder Beach, which we can probably dive into now, the production, I mean, you guys nailed it. Like the vibe is there and everything. So tell us about like the process of this track. Was it very seamless working with him? Like how long did it take to record?
Yeah, there's, oh my goodness. We recorded it pretty quickly. It took a day to record, you know, kind of the bass tracks. And then we spent a second day adding embellishments. But yeah, I think one really interesting thing about Dan and his studio is that it's very cozy. It's very home. It's got very homey vibes because it literally is in his home. And the coolest thing is that, you know, when you open the gate to get in, it's, you have to walk through a little garden. And it's just, it's a pretty interesting garden because it's on these steps. And that's why he's actually called his studio Overgrown Studios.
Ah, cool.
Partly because of the plants thing going on. So it's really kind of this intimate setting where you feel comfortable. It's not like, I'm in this big commercial production house and I have to quickly bash out something in 2 hours. Otherwise I get charged this astronomical fee. So it's not like that. And I think that really helped. I think that made it easier to sort of create the sound that was very, as you said, there's a vibe to it. And I think that what I really enjoyed about collaborating with him is that he's really good with guitar. And so when I was like, oh, you know, it's a beach kind of song, it's set in Wanda Beach, which is, you know, a real beach in Sydney. He said, oh yeah, okay, well, why don't we do this beachy kind of guitar riff? And I loved it. And I think that's actually a really integral part of the song musically.
Yeah, no, so, for sure. Yeah. Like that, the way that electric guitar carries through, because it really drives the whole song, and then your vocals sort of come in, complement each other so well. And then throughout the track, there's just like little, you know, little, all those little pretty things just popping in here and there. And it feels like it's all, like, I think it just goes to show that you don't need a big fancy studio to make a cool track. Like the fact that you've just gone to Dan's home studio and put this together in this cozy setup, as you explained. That's so, so cool. So, and you mentioned you did a few more, is that right?
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. So there's the next single is coming out on the 23rd of April, which is a few weeks. It's about a week from now.
Yeah.
And, so that's kind of different. We actually brought a cellist in, and so we basically had him bow and pluck his strings, and that added a totally new vibe to the sound, I guess. But it kind of, because it was produced in the same place, it's got a similar, there's something that keeps the tracks together. And for that song, for this song coming up, which is called Glass, I also had a pianist play. So those are the two main instruments plus my vocals. And the pianist is based in London. And she literally got in, because her gear is mostly outside of her house. She got that recording down just before London went into their third lockdown. So I was like, oh, thank goodness. And and so we managed to put all the music together. And so that was cool, you know, having a cellist, you know, like a real live string instrument in there, and also someone who was just on the other side of the world collaborate. Yeah, it was great.
So good. Yeah, that's awesome. I'd love to hear about your songwriting process as well, because you mentioned before that you do, like you brought some of these songs to Dan. So how do you go about writing your songs, and what's sort of your instrument of choice when it comes to writing songs? Are you mainly using a guitar? Like, do you play much piano as well? And in terms of the lyrics as well, like, how does that come about? Are you someone that, because I saw as in your Spotify bio how you're inspired by the great poets of the Romantic era. So you were someone that likes to write poetry as well? Yeah, tell us about that and your songwriting process.
Yeah, so I do dabble in poetry. I actually, you know, outside of the music, I do write poems. I have been commissioned to write poems. So I think the lyrics to me is one of the bits of the songwriting process that I really enjoy. And I pretty much always start with lyrics. I literally start with a poem. I'll be like, oh, let's put these words down into a nice beat and see what happens melodically later. So a lot of the time, the poem will just float around for a few weeks, maybe more than that, before a tune pops into my head. Because I find it easy to, you know, have the tune match some words. I remember with Wanda Beach, I was literally in the shower, and and I knew that the song would go Wanda, Wanda Beach. And suddenly the tune just floated in going Wanda, Wanda Beach. And I went, oh, there we go. And then you kind of, you know, start with that hook and then you fill it out from there. That's the way I do it, at least. I guess just because of the poetry background. And in terms of, you know, chord progressions, I use guitar. I prefer to use guitar. I do use keys sometimes. But a lot of the time it's with guitar. Yeah.
Interesting. That's actually really unique. A lot of artists, and I mean, I can attest to this as well for a lot of my music, like I consider myself mainly a guitar player. Like, it's a lot of, I'll write chord progressions and riffs on guitar first. And then a melody might come out of that. And then I'll start to add words to that and maybe like choose a sort of theme that I want for that sort of sound, in terms of like a lyrical theme, and sort of just build lyrics from that. And I think a lot of artists sort of operate in a similar way from what I've heard from the guests on the podcast so far. But that's interesting. And it's sort of taking it from the other way around and thinking it's cool sort of hearing that you're coming from a very sort of lyrical standpoint and having that poetry. Like, not only is it you're writing as lyrics, but just simply as a poem, which I think is really, really cool. And that almost gives the words that, like, the music sort of comes from the words, which I think gives the song sort of a unique sort of quality. But at the same time, you could listen to it and, you know, that's why I asked you. I wasn't sure, like, maybe you did write the music first. You can't tell actually in the final product. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting just to hear people's unique processes.
I thought it would be interesting to add potentially that when I'm writing songs, I kind of think of it as a story almost. Mm. Because inspiration would have come from something in life, right? And I kind of almost think, okay, well, here's the story. Something has happened. There's a backstory. There are characters. That's almost how I think of my songs and of the project in its entirety, actually. Mm. So with Glass, which is coming up, the story there is that, you know, there's two people who have planned to go on a date in this lavish restaurant. But then life happens, they go their separate ways, and that never happens. But then you have the viewpoint of the singer who's like, wait, what if we do one day both show up at that venue and accidentally meet? So yeah, it's kind of, like I said, I think, yeah, that element of the story is kind of always in the music, yeah.
I like that. That's sort of, it's almost like a narrative to the songs. That's yeah. Cool. That's cool. I like that. It's unique. And you also mentioned in your Spotify bio, I saw you inspired by the artists like London Grammar, Dido, Mazzy Star. And you can definitely get some of those vibes, like London Grammar especially. I can definitely get that sort of sound in your music. Are there any other artists that sort of inspire you? Like, what sort of sound are you sort of striving for? Do you feel like you know sort of what sound you want, or are you still sort of exploring that?
Oh, I think it's early days, so I'm still exploring that. You know, I have recently been listening to Julia Stone, who I really like. Her voice is really interesting. She uses spoken word, which I also adore as an art form. But I guess just in terms of like musical vision, I think for me, my goal is not really to go towards a sound. I think that's like a process, like that is something you end up doing in the process of making music. But I think for me at this point, I think that'll, like, the move from Hong Kong to Australia has been pretty big, and I'm still trying to work through it all. And to me, kind of the importance of nature has always come through. You know, I think when I moved here, what struck me the most was that Sydney has, or New South Wales even, has amazing landscapes. Mm. And I think that people here are kind of like, oh yeah, well, you know, it's normal. Yeah, that's Sydney stuff. Yeah, beaches, whatever. And I'm kind of going, yeah, I don't think most people in the world grow up next to such gorgeous coastlines, but yeah. Yeah, you know, I guess it's normal. But I think to me, I want to really, you know, bring that out, draw that beauty out and go, yeah, but it's actually really gorgeous. So, you know, I don't want to preach and say don't take it for granted, but it's kind of like, it's important to at least acknowledge that is there and that it is really amazing and rare.
100%. That's so good. I'm so glad you're doing that. Because I live on the Central Coast, which is just an hour north of Sydney. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I try to get out to the beach as much as I can because we live so close to the beach and even like all like the hiking routes around here, like it is amazing. And yeah, like 100% is important if you live in these areas not to take it for granted. And and I think it's cool that it's a theme in your music that you've come here and you've really been inspired by, I guess, the locations and just the scenery and the nature. Mm. And that's coming through in your music, which is really, really cool. Really, really cool.
Yeah, because in Hong Kong, like, for example, or, you know, a lot of other places I know, it's hard to get to the beach and not see polluted water or have the air not be great that day. So I think, you know, that's something that is a privilege in many countries.
There you go. That's so good. That's so good. It's been so inspiring hearing your story and sort of where you've come from and what you're doing now. And it's, It sounds like, and again, as I said at the top of the podcast, it's early, it's exciting talking to you now because it's early days for Cypher. So before I let you go, I'd love to talk about sort of your, if you have any long-term goals or your plans for Cypher. Is there like potential, like, would you want to be doing like live performances, live shows, you know, potential EPs or albums down the line? Like, what are your visions and plans for Cypher?
Yeah, for sure. So I think let's go through one by one. The live shows thing is definitely something I am, I have an eye on that. I'm thinking of doing stuff this year potentially. And that would be in line with the EP that I want to release. So I've been releasing some singles, but they're all leading up to the release of an EP, which is a concept EP. It's all the songs in it are named after uncertain areas in and around Sydney.
Cool.
So yeah, so that's kind of the goal for this year. And I think just from a longer term goal, I think it's just about, to me, I find it really important to build an aesthetic kind of brand or some kind of like aesthetic feel to the project as well, right? The whole idea of, you know, you kind of consume things with your eyes first and then your ears. So I think in line with doing that, I've been trying to create a very specific look for each single. So they're all kind of tied together visually by being outdoors, which again is tied to the theme of the EP. But yeah, it kind of changes a little every song. So with Wanda Beach, it was a lot of pastel pinks. It was, I very much tried to mimic the colors of the beach, right? Pastel hues, very kind of blue, white sand. And then with Glass, it's kind of more in the La Perouse area. There's a lot of rock there. There's a lot of dark greens and deep blues. So, you know, things like that, kind of like playing with that concept of those different locations being so central. And bringing them to life, not only through music, but also through visuals. So I think that's something I really love to do. And finally, I think just, you know, as a newcomer, not only to like with this project, but also to the music scene here locally, I just really want to get out there, meet people and listen to loads of other people's music too. Because I think it's I don't want to just only, you know, go, hey, listen to my music. This is my stuff. I totally want to hear about what other people are doing. So in I guess in aiming to do that, I've actually started going to gigs at least once a week, if not more, and doing little reviews, you know, kind of going, oh, like talking a bit more about the artist and what their music style is like, you know, how they perform. I think to me, I just love doing that. And I think that may be what we have in common, because I can see you also have a passion for speaking to other artists around you too. So yeah, I think there's lots of stuff planned for the next few months and years, maybe, I hope. yeah, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
That's so exciting. It's so great to hear sort of all the things that you have in the works. And yeah, actually, I've totally forgot. I was meant to ask you about like how you've been doing like these like weekly reviews and the gigs and everything. Because you've seen, I mean, we even set it off. Yeah, you saw, because two episodes ago I had Taylor on. You saw Taylor, and then you also know Mitch, who is Tilopia, and I can't remember if there's any others. But yeah, it's cool in this like Sydney Central Coast where I am. Like, there's all sort of, it's a nice little hub of musicians. It seems that we're all sort of on the same level, just helping each other grow, which is cool.
Love that. Yeah.
So good. Well, once again, Cypher, thanks so much for coming on to the Indie Music Diaries podcast today.
Thanks,
it's been such a great chat. Before I do let you go, feel free to plug yourself. Where can people find you and your music?
Oh yeah, how could we forget that? I'm available on my streaming platforms. That includes Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, as Cypher, so that's S-Y-S-A-H, and on Instagram at This Is Cypher with full stops in between for the aesthetic, and on Facebook also at This Is Cypher. So check it out, have a listen, I'd appreciate it.
So good. Well, and guys, we'll have all those links in the description. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, new episode of Indie Music Diaries every single Monday fortnight. And we'll see you guys in the next one.